Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. And I hear warm weather's coming. That's some good news. It's only like 47 or 8 days till spring, first day of spring. And I got better news than that. Jesus is coming back. Yeah, amen. So it's good to be with you here today. I won't try to hold you too long. We have some vision we want to cast at the end of this service and go over some business things with you. But I want to share some thoughts with you this morning that I've been contemplating. And we've been talking about growing on purpose and growing personally and growing in witnessing and growing in ministry. And today I want to talk a little bit about ministry and it kind of goes with witnessing and growing personally. It all really tied together. But all right, I'm in John chapter 4 this morning, if you want to turn there with me. And I'm going to talk about something I'm sure everybody's preached on at least 24 times. I don't think I've preached on it that many times, but I've covered it a few times in 40 years. And it is about the woman at the well. And it's one of the most interesting stories in the Word of God because it covers the culture that we live in today. It really covers it well. So in John chapter 4, beginning at verse 3, it says, "He left Judea and returned to Galilee." Verse 4 said, "It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. And in doing so, he arrived at a Samaritan town called Sychar, near the tract of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down to rest by the well. It was about the sixth hour of the day, about noon. And presently, when a woman of Samaria came along to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Would you give me a drink?' And for his disciples had gone off to town, into town, to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman, for a drink? For the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, If you had only known and recognized God's gift, and who this was that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." And she said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, no drawing bucket. The well is deep. How can you provide living water? And where do you get this living water? Are you greater than and more superior than our ancestor," or your Bible probably says, "Father Jacob, who gave us this well, and he used to drink from it, himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered her, "All who drink of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall be," that should be him or her, "the water that I give will become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him or her, into for eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never get thirsty again or have to come continually all the way here to draw water." At this, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back here." And the woman said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have spoken truly, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. And in this you have spoken truly." And the woman said to him, there's an attitude shift here with her. The woman said to him, "Sir, I see and understand that you are a prophet. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where it is necessary and proper to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the time is coming when you shall worship the Father neither merely in this mountain nor merely in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you're worshiping. You worship what you do not comprehend. We do know that we are worshiping. We do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. For after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true, genuine worships will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, or reality. For the Father is seeking such people as these, as his worshipers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. Now that's interesting to me. And I'll talk more about that in a moment, but it's interesting to me because of her Jewish heritage. She knows the language of the promise. There's a Messiah coming. So it's interesting to me that she brings this up to him. And so she says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ or the Anointed One. And when he arrives, he will tell us everything that we need to know and make it clear to us. Jesus said to her, I who now speak with you am he. And just then his disciples came and they wondered, were surprised or astonished to find him talking with a woman, a married woman. However, not one of them asked him, what are you inquiring about of her, or what do you want, or why do you speak with her? Then the woman left her water jug and went away into town, and she began telling people, come and see the man who has told me everything that I ever did. Can this be, is not this the Christ? Must not this be the Messiah, the Anointed One? So the people left town and set out to go to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. But he assured them, I have food or nourishment to eat of which you know nothing and have no idea. So the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food or my nourishment is to do the will, the pleasure of him who sent me and accomplish and completely finish his work. Do you not say it is still 4 months until the harvest comes? Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting has now has his reward, for he is gathering fruit or crop unto life eternal, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. For in this saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not toiled. Other men have labored and have stepped in to reap the results of their work. Now numerous Samaritans from that town believed in him, believed and trusted in him. That's two different things. That's why there's two different words. I don't mean to be elementary with you. You know this, but it's two different things. They believed. But believing's not enough. The devils believe. Doesn't the word say the devils believe and they tremble? And they know there's a day coming. They fell at Jesus' feet and said, have you come to torment us before the time? They know there's an appointed time. So it's not enough to believe, but they trusted in him. And I think trust is a key word that we all could take a little more heart in that. God, I trust you. Because I'll tell you, when you're in the fire, sometimes the trust thing is not present on your mind. So let me finish this. So they believed in and trusted in him because of what the woman said when he declared and testified, he told me everything that I ever did. So when the Samaritans arrived, they asked him to remain with them, and he did stay there 2 days. When many more believed in and adhered to and relied on him because of his personal message, what he himself said. Marilyn, will you ask the blessing, please? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I just want to speak on this thought this morning, a crumb from the master's table. and how little things mean so much. And I remember the first time I met Denver Callahan was in Des Moines, Iowa. they were having a conference up there, and you know, they sent out to all the area churches, and you know, could come and see this guy. And he was from Muskogee, Oklahoma, and pastored a church about 400. And I thought, you know, I just was in a bad state of mind, I'll just be honest with you. You know, I'd been in the church a year, maybe a year and a half. A little bit discouraged, a little frustrated, you know, just like a lot of jobs. And so Marilyn said, you know, we need to go to this. It's like a little 2 or 3 day conference or something. And I said, no, you know, I don't think so. And well, why not? I said, well, what's a guy running 400 have to say to me? How can he relate to me? But you know, in my ignorance, you don't realize that people don't always start at 400. You don't realize that he started with nobody. You don't realize that when they were in Arizona and he told this story, how they lived across the street from this atheist who got right in his face and said, don't ever say one thing to me about Jesus Christ, or don't ever do that. And the Callahans were so broke, so young. They had one child, Denny, just a baby, who really had some health issues and had stomach issues. And the doctor told her, she took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, you need to cook him, he needs an egg every day, 7 days a week. So she came home and she said to her husband, Denver, she said, Denver, we can't afford to buy one egg. Now, maybe you can't relate to this. Maybe you've been that broke, but that's how broke they were. And the neighbor, the atheist neighbor had chickens. And a hen walked across the road. You want to know why the chicken crossed the road? To be obedient to the Holy Spirit. That chicken came over every day and under their porch laid an egg. Denver Callahan, being the man that he was, took the egg and returned it because it wasn't his. And the man was hateful and said, you know what? If that chicken lays an egg over there, it's your egg. For 7 days a week, for I don't know how long, one hen walked across the road and laid an egg in there. Don't tell me. Come on. Don't tell me. God knows where you're at. So this is the guy that I didn't think I would be able to relate to. And so when we went to that conference, and of course, you know, later on, we were the closest of friends. And anyway, went to this conference, and he stepped up to the pulpit. They introduced him, did that thing. And he stepped to the pulpit and opened his Bible up and did that thing, and just started standing there saying, drip, 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 drip. And that just went on and on and on, you know, because he wanted everybody to understand what he was saying, drip, drip. And it's, I thought, man, where is this going? Because I was just not in a good frame of mind. I didn't have a good attitude, just being honest. So pretty soon he said, have you ever been in a motel where the faucet just drips all night? And you can't get it to stop, and you put a washcloth in there or something, and then that's fine for a while, then the water pulls up and you can hear it. It's a little louder because it's amplified off of the water it's dripping into now. And he started talking about little things meaning a lot. And he talked about the miracle of the 5 loaves and the fishes. And he talked about how that sack lunch that boy had that day became a miracle for 5,000 men, plus their women and children. And he talked about, at the end, taking up 12 fragments. He talked about in that sermon that it wasn't the the Bible really doesn't put so much emphasis on the miracle as it does picking up the fragments, the 12 baskets. Because little things mean a lot. So when we think about the Gentile woman that needed a miracle, and Jesus said to her, it's really not proper for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. How flattering is that? Most people would quit church over that. If I said that to you, it's like, nah, you're a dog, you're not worthy. It's like, well, I ain't coming back there. But it didn't deter her, because she stayed and got a miracle. This woman right here has got every issue in culture, and in the culture where we live today, she fits everything. I wanted to say before I move on that since we are the body of Christ, and I'm talking about ministering today, and I'm talking about reaching people and touching people, it's interesting that the lepers came to Jesus and he physically touched them. He physically touched them. Can you imagine? There's such a teaching in that, how lonely it would be to be a leper. They had to bring food, and they could only get a certain distance to set food here, and they'd go out and get food and leave money or whatever they did, however they got food. There was no church. There was no social life. There was no connection group. There was no fellowship. Nothing. And for all of a sudden, one day, this man from Galilee just lays his hand on you. Go your way and be healed. Go show yourself to the priest. And out of 10 of them, one came back. Well, as Christians, as the body of Christ, we carry with us the manna of the Lord. We carry it with us. We carry the bread of life, and we carry the water of life. And the message that we carry within us, simply called the gospel, is exactly what people need to hear. Jesus operated this day. Let me say this to you. I don't want to rock your theology. Jesus operated this day as a human being operating in the Holy Spirit. He was anointed of the Holy Spirit, and God moved in him on his humanity. Some people think, well, because he was God incarnate, he just automatically knew everything. No, he was a human being. Oh, I know he was God in flesh. I get that. But he was a human being. He relied on the Holy Spirit. If you'll notice, after the Holy Spirit descended on him, he began his public ministry and he began to do things. It is the anointing of the Lord that breaks the yoke of bondage. And it's good for you and I as well. We're not gods. We're children of the Most High God. And he has anointed us. He has anointed us with the Holy Spirit and given us power to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and pray the prayer of faith. That's what God has done for us. Let's get involved and start using it, because people need it. So there are so many times that we run into scenarios that would seem maybe fortuitous or accidental, but honestly, they're divine appointments that you merge with this person or group of people, whatever it is, and God has set you up for that moment. Could I tell you about the disciples? I mean, the Jews would do business with the Samaritans because it was all about making money. So they would do business with them. They would absolutely go out of their way not to go through Samaria. They hated these people. They hated them. So today we're going to talk a little bit about social issues and racial issues and gender awareness. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff that this woman fits into, and it certainly just looks like flip the page over to 2026 and this is where we are. And I love it how verse 4 begins and said, it was necessary. I was reading out of the Amplified. It was necessary for Jesus to go through Jerusalem. You know what that was? That was an unction of the Holy Spirit. God saying, go here. Jesus said, I came to do the will of him who sent me. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear from him, and I don't say anything unless I hear from him. So for Jesus to show up in Samaria at that well, at that moment, I absolutely know it was a divine appointment. It wasn't just a coincidence. And so it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. At this point in history, as I mentioned, the Jews hated these people. And there wasn't a lot of love lost with the Samaritans either. The Samaritan people were on the same level as Gentiles. Matthew Henry's commentary refers to Samaritans from a Jewish point of view as mongrel Jews. A mongrel, the definition of a mongrel is a dog of mixed or indeterminate breed. So as far as the Jews were concerned, the problem is because they're married into the Assyrians and other people, because of being conquered and the cities they conquered, Jews stayed behind and they intermarried and that whole thing. And so their blood, as far as the Jews are concerned, is tainted. And that's an important thing for them because God told them not to intermarry. However, there was intermarriage, and there's four women listed in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, which is highly unusual, but they're there, and they're not people of high caliber. Some of them are prostitutes and so on. But the bloodline the Jews are looking at, they know the Messiah is coming through Abraham and through that bloodline, so they're looking for a pure bloodline. But Matthew Henry describes these people as mongrel Jews. And they're social outcasts. So there are people in our communities where we live that some would consider social outcasts. Well, we don't talk to these people, whatever. Well, shame on us if we're that way. I love it when the disciples came back. The Bible said they wondered. I think it was a little snarkier than that. I think they're like, what is he doing? We don't talk to these people. A. B, she's a female. They think she's married. So he's out of order. That's what they're thinking. These guys are, until the Holy Spirit fell on these guys, they're like a lot of us. They just think out of the flesh and they speak out of the flesh and they don't, they don't really understand yet who, I don't think they totally understand who Jesus is. Until Jesus ascends and the Holy Spirit looks like a, whoa! Yeah. And then they remembered. How many times you read that after the in the book of Acts? Oh, and then they remembered what the Lord had said. Oh, and then they remembered what the Lord had taught. So that's why we read our Bible. So when we get in this position, the Holy Spirit can say, oh yeah, and this is why the Lord said that in this book. So we have an anchor to hold to. And so they wondered, what he's doing, talking to them. So we're talking about social issues, racial issues. They're racist because these people are considered dogs. They're on the same level with the Gentiles. And then there's the gender issue because she's a female. So, and I think the woman had a little bit of attitude. I'm just speculating, of course. You can't get a tone of voice out of reading something. That's why text can be dangerous. Hello? Be careful what you say and how you say it. So it's hard to interpret attitude, but I'm wondering if this woman wasn't just a little bit like, first of all, why would you bother to even speak to me? And second, you don't have anything. And why would you ask me to wait on you to get you a drink of water? Why would you speak to me? And why are you asking me to wait on me? And you don't even have anything to draw with because we both know. You're not going to drink anything out of my pitcher. Hello? She's not going to drink out of her glass. Not going to happen. That's what she thinks. But Jesus has another mission. And every time we go out, and every time we coincidentally run into somebody, and we feel like, well, this is cool. But there's an opportunity there to bring up the name of Jesus Christ. There will be people that will totally reject you. But there will be people that have issues going on in their life that need to hear what you have to say. They need to hear you tell them what God has done for you. What's the name of that song you shared with me that Spig wrote? Somebody Told Me? I had a friend in Tennessee. He's been doing some drums on it. Wrote this song, and I played that this morning for after I got ready. And good grief, this guy's a writer. The Holy Spirit just drops this stuff in this guy. But somebody, I'm telling somebody because somebody told me. That's one of the lines in it. It's like, good grief, could the timing on that be any greater than what I'm talking about this morning? I'm going to tell somebody because somebody told me. I'm going to tell somebody. It's like, holy cow. Well, you know what? That ought to be our attitude. What's the thing that we got, you guys had printed on the cards? Each one reach one. I'm going to tell somebody because somebody told me. How many had somebody tell you about Jesus? Whether it was your mama or whoever it was, somebody told you about Jesus. 100% in here today because somebody told you about Jesus. And, you know, I was like these babies back here. My mom and dad brought me to church. Oh, I wasn't weaned. I was the baby. And I grew up on a church pew. Let me tell you something. It was good for me. And we did it 3 times a week. And I was telling somebody the other day about my mom and dad. We lived in Knoxville, Iowa, and my dad and his brother pastored a church in Des Moines down in the bottoms. It was a 50-mile hop one way and a 50-mile back to Knoxville. And we drove that every weekend, go down for Sunday morning, go home, go back for Sunday night. At once in a blue moon, we would stay with my Uncle Opal through the day. But and then I remember one time they had a 3-week revival, 7 nights a week for 3 weeks. My dad worked all day long, a day job, and drove to church every night. But I'm going to tell you something God did thing and drove back. 100 miles round trip. Think about it. It's tough to get to church sometimes, but it sure ain't a 100-mile round trip. I'm talking to you today, church. It ain't a hundred mile round trip. I'm just saying, I'm not bragging on them. I'm bragging on the Jesus that was in them because they were dedicated and they were sold out and it didn't make any difference. They were going to church. I'm telling you, Catholics got saved in that revival. 13 young people one night slayed in the floor. Every one of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It started with this one down here, and then that one started speaking in tongues, and then the next one, it's just like the Holy Spirit was going down the line, just dropping it on them as he went down. 13, two of those were my sisters. I'm telling you what, when you get dedicated to God, when you decide, like the old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided I'm going to sell out for Jesus. I've decided I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Watch God move in your life. Amen. So I think she might have had a little attitude. Maybe not, but I'll just speculate it. It makes for good fodder, doesn't it? Anyway, I just think, and then she begins to debate with him about religion. Well, you know what, we got this thing, and I won't take time to get in there, why they built a temple there, and there's another temple in Jerusalem, but you can look all that up, and I think it's in 1 Kings or somewhere in there. But anyway, she begins to debate with him. Well, you know, you all worship over there, and we worship here, and we got our own thing, and you run into people like that when you're witnessing. Well, you know, we kind of got our own thing. You know what, it's not about an own thing. There's one, it's not a thing, there's one person that is the hub of everybody. His name is Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference what the shingle is hanging out over your door. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to be blood-bought by Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of your sin, everything that's ever been behind you. God will completely wipe it clean. 1 John tells us if we ask him to forgive us of our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe that. Do you believe that? So Jesus is trying to talk to her, and finally he gets down to where he says, well, just go get your husband, bring him back, we'll have a conversation. She said, well, I don't have a husband. Now, in the first part of this meeting, I love the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. He's truly a gentleman. The Holy Spirit never does anything to embarrass anybody. He doesn't drop the hammer on somebody. He doesn't do that. He'll be honest with you, but he's not brutal. Amen? He's not brutal. He's not cold-hearted. So Jesus doesn't just get after her because he knows. He has a word of knowledge working, and he knows what's going on. When she says, well, I don't have a husband, he said, that's right, because you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with now, you're just living with. He doesn't drop the hammer on her about adultery. He doesn't drop the hammer on her. And you know what? The Bible says, and we don't have it recorded, she says, he told me everything that I ever did. He told me everything. He read my mail and told me all the way back to when I was a kid. So the only way he could know that has to be by the power of the living God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the thing that will move people into a place where their faith becomes so incredible that all things then truly become possible, because now they know that they know the only way that somebody could know that is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many know we need those gifts operating? And I was telling Pastor Kenny back here in the hall this morning, I said, you know what, I've been stuck in this vein about witnessing and going, and everywhere the disciples go, they heal people. They set people free. And you know what? The reason that this town emptied out and came out to see this Jew is because this woman said, you got to come with me. I'm thinking this is the Messiah. We've been talking about it. We've been looking for it. We've been reading about it. But I'm thinking this. He told me everything I ever did. So they come out to see. And because of what she said, because she told somebody, or some bodies, plurally, they came out to see what was going on. And now they're listening to Jesus talk. And how many know that's a whole new deal? I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face, and you can read this and go, oh my God, woo! You get happy feet. Remember that thing back in the 70s? Anybody else remember that? Please patronize me. Just shake your head yes. Go ahead and lie if you have to. We had this thing called Happy Feet. My brother-in-law, Dean, who was a Baptist preacher, would just get up from the kitchen table while you're eating and just do a little jig, you know, and say, well, I'm sorry, I just had Happy Feet. Well, we could use some Happy Feet in church once in a while. Amen. Come in with Happy Feet and go out with Happy Feet and be happy. Amen. Well, remember that song that guy had out, Don't Worry, Be Happy? We loved that song. We tried to make it the theme song at Grace Cathedral in Muskogee. Pastor said, well, I love this song, but we're not doing that. Because the guy would say, I forget some of the line, if your rent's past due, don't worry, just be happy. Pastor said, no, we're not doing that. Anyway, we got it. We need joy. Come on, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's joy and happiness in serving God. I don't need a long face. I don't need to be a sourpuss, because Jesus has set me free. I can read where the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Free. Free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer bound by this because somebody told me about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, this woman right here had a revelation because Jesus came by and it affected that entire community. You go back a few chapters, and I think it's in Matthew maybe 9, I can't remember. I wrote it down, but I didn't get it over here. But they refused to let him come through there. You remember that? The disciples went into town. The Bible says they went into town to make provision for the Lord. They're going to get lodging and food and water, what you know, the stuff they need. And the Samaritan said, no, 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 you're not coming through here. No, because he had his face, the Bible said he had his face set toward Jerusalem. So they're offended by that. No, you're not coming through here. But over here, we see Jesus running into one woman, and he tells that one woman everything that she needs to hear to make a believer out of her. Let me tell you something. You're going to run into people when you witness to them that you're going to have to prove it to them. They just have to, they're like the Jews, they got to have a sign. And you may not have a sign. You may not be able to take a stick and turn it into a serpent. You may not have that gig going. And I hope you don't. I don't want any part of that. But anyway, but here's what you have. You have a story that is so incredible. And nobody, sorry, Rob, nobody can tell it like you can tell it. Pastor Kenny can tell me his story. I love it. I can tell it to Rob, and he'll love it. But I won't say it with the same passion he says it. Because, I mean, it's so still burning in Sister Susie's too. It's burning in there. It's burning. Amen. So, Jesus, simply operating in the boundaries of the Holy Spirit, she's in need of a spiritual healing, and Jesus gives her a morsel, if you will, from the Master's table and makes such a difference in her. Jesus never minimized this, but he said it like this. If you just give a glass of water, just a glass of water, just a little kindness. So verse 39, I want to read this again. Numerous Samaritans from that town believed in and trusted in him because of what the woman said when he declared and testified, when she declared and testified, he told me everything that I ever did. Wow. That would be scary for me. But he knows everything that I ever did. And I know that he knows that. And I know that he's forgiven me. And that's everything. So when the Samaritans arrived, they asked him to remain with them, and he stayed there 2 days. The same people that a few chapters earlier, or another book earlier, said, no, we don't want you here. It was a different town, of course, but we don't want you here. Now, so would you stay? Would you stay? Would you teach us? We have no record of the healings and the miracles that took place in Sychar. They just didn't get listed. But I know they happened. How do I know that? Because everywhere he went, there were miracles and signs and wonders. And Jesus said that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Ladies and gentlemen, we not only need to be witnessing, we need to be performing miracles. Look this way just for a moment. I want to tell you something. Don't act like you can't do this. Don't act like you can't do this. Are you saved this morning? Yes. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. Yes. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have power and ability. And you know what? Sometimes you got to take somebody by the hand and open your mouth. And it doesn't make any difference who's looking. You've heard me tell the story about the lady at JCPenney at the outlet. My mother-in-law was setting her things up on the counter. Her hands are so crippled and distorted, they look awful. And the lady said, honey, my goodness, you're so crippled. Could I pray with you? And I mean right there in the checkout line. I'm not worried about my job. I'm not worried about getting fired. I don't worry about what these people back here in line are thinking. I'm going to take a moment right here, and she prayed for him. Man, I'll tell you what, that got a hold of me. That got a hold of me. Am I doing that? There are opportunities. I stopped right across town over here at Dollar General yesterday, and there was a little gal in there that waited on me, and man, I could tell she was struggling. And she was at the point of tears. Her eyes were glassy. And I said, "Are you doing okay?" She said, "You know, it's just been a rough day." I said, "Well, I know this about Dollar General. They're always a little short of help, and they really kind of overwork people. I do know that." She said, "You know, people are so mean. People are so mean." And I talked to her a little bit, talked to her about the Lord, and I just said, "Lord bless you, and I pray you have a better day." And she had a big smile on her face. There's a ministry opportunity wherever you, I don't say that to brag on me, I'm just saying everywhere you go, I just stop at Dollar General, there's an opportunity. Everywhere you go, there's an opportunity. This girl was at the point of tears, you could see it. If I'd have said very much to her, I think she'd have been bawling. Because people had just been so mean. Because people are just rude today. Have you noticed? People have no grace for you. They have no tolerance for you. They have no manners. You can be going in the UPS store like this, and they'll go in ahead of you, and they won't even hold the door for you. It's like, "Thank you. Thank you very much." It's a different time, but the same God. Different time, but the same Holy Spirit. Different time, same anointing. Different times, but the same power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the finest hour the church has ever had to step up and show the miracle working power of God. Stand up and say, "You know what? I don't care how chaotic it is. I don't care how much of a civil war we're in. It seems like we're in one. But you know what? I know this. God can save to the uttermost, and He will save. And if His people that are called by His name will humble themselves and change their ways and repent and pray and seek His face, I'm telling you, God will do it. God will do it, even in this day and age. He'll do it. So tell your story to somebody else. Give somebody else that morsel of bread that somebody gave to you. Because it comes from the hand of men. Some people in life get dreams. They weren't serving God, but they get dreams, and all of a sudden they realize, boy, you know what? God really is real. Most people get it because somebody told them about it. Tell somebody. It will produce eternal life, and it will bless you, and it will bless them. It will save them. It'll set them on the path of eternity. This morning, I want this church to be doing something different than we've ever done, and that is the Bible teaches us to seek earnestly the best gifts. Now, I don't think these gifts come cheap. Salvation is free, but relationship with God will cost you everything. And to have the gifts operating in your life, you're going to have a relationship with God to where you're sold out. You're going to have to be willing to get away from the table. And we were talking about this back in the hall back here, too. It's like, man, I don't know about your flesh, my flesh, this right hand loves a fork. Yeah, I can do it with my eyes shut. Talent, right? No, we like to eat. And our culture's about eating. Somebody said we don't manufacture anything in America anymore, but we got restaurants and we eat out. Pretty much. But you know what? Relationship will call it. And the deeper you get in a relationship, the easier these things become for you. I really mean that. Even fasting. But ladies and gentlemen, if we go out and begin to tell people about Jesus, and somebody's sick, somebody's got a baby that's sick, and you take them right there by the hand, I want to just pray for you right now. We need to start being spontaneous and do it in the right now. God is the God of the right now. So we need to start praying. You get somebody on the phone and say, "Man, I'm doing pretty good, but I'll tell you, you know, grandma's sick or the dog. Let me just pray with you right now." God in heaven, Jesus, touch grandma. And pray with these people. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. And so I think the message, Spig had the title for the message today, Tell Somebody. Tell Somebody. Tell Somebody. Would you stand with me just for another moment? Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray just for a moment. And I want us to say, God, help me as an individual to be effective like Jesus was effective, like the disciples were effective. Everywhere they went, people were being healed and saved and delivered and set free. And they were blessed and they were given the gift of eternal life. Father, make us like that. Could we just pray that prayer this morning? Just lift your hand and say, God, make me like this. I know that we're living in the last days, Father. I know that the door to the church age is just nearly shut. I know that Jesus is coming after his church so soon that it would scare us. We wouldn't leave here today if we knew how soon it was. But God, we just pray that you would help us to become deeper in you. Seek the spiritual things and seek the things of God to where we are effective in witnessing, Lord God. And we're not so much concerned about growing a number and filling pews. We're concerned about people obtaining eternal life. We're obsessed with people being healed for the glory of Jesus Christ. God, move on us today. I feel your presence here in a great way, Lord. Move on us here today, Lord God. God, let the blanket of the Holy Spirit rest on this congregation. God, as we go out in this new year and begin to grow ourselves personally by spending time in the Word, by spending time in prayer, by spending time in witnessing, by spending time in ministering to people. Help us, Lord God, to open our eyes and find somebody somewhere in need and do something for them to meet their needs. God, if it's bake a loaf of bread and take it, whatever it is, help us, Lord God, to find a niche and get in it. And God, we want you to receive the glory because you alone are worthy of all the glory and all of the praise and all of the honor because you're the Most High God. Hallelujah. God, help us to convey the woman that the well had no idea that the greatest token of God's love ever given was standing right in front of her. Oh, God, help us to live such a life that people understand that standing in front of them is the gift of God living on the inside of us, that we are the portable, mobile church, if you will, that the temple of the Holy Spirit on wheels and everywhere we go. God, let us be so prayed up that people sense there's something different. God, we've even had people say it to us. There's something different about it. I feel something. And at that moment, you can say, what you're feeling is the Holy Spirit. What you're feeling is the Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus? If not, could I lead you in that prayer? Oh, God, help us. God, we are the modern-day disciples, so God, help us to act like it. Help us to act like it. Help us, Lord God, to walk in that. Help us to understand what authority and power has been given to us, and let us take authority over the enemy. Oh, God, so we praise you this morning, Jesus, for your presence, and we give you glory. We give you glory. Just worship him, church. If anybody needs, while you're worshiping, and if anybody needs prayer for anything, please come. We want to pray with you before we change the order of this service.